You are listening to the Hippie Haven podcast, where we have real-life conversations about all things hippie, from veganism to zero waste to manifesting to minimalism and everything in between. I'm your host, Callie. I'm a zero waste activist and consultant traveling the United States in a van with a mission of encouraging people to live an ethical and eco-friendly lifestyle. With this podcast, I want to show you how easy it can be to take small steps that make a big difference in saving our planet. Let's get started. This episode of the Hippie Haven podcast is brought to you by The Sustainable Switch, an online zero-waste store that offers stainless steel straws, 3-in-1 metal utensils, and reusable snack and produce bags. They also sell in bulk, so if you run a business or organization looking for sustainable alternatives, check them out. Use my discount code, AHIPPIEINAVAN, that's AHIPPIEINAVAN, to save 10% off your order over $15 or 10% off your bulk order of 50 plus items. Visit thesustainableswitch.com to shop now. Today I'm chatting with Amanda Brown, who is an eco-artist and conservationist in Florida. She completed her bachelor's in environmental science from Franklin University, Switzerland, and currently works as an environmental program officer for a media-based nonprofit. In her spare time, Amanda makes art out of plastic pollution for her Etsy shop, Refusables. We talk about where she gets her inspiration and her materials from, the severity of trash in the ocean, and how you can help prevent plastic pollution no matter where you live. By the way, there is a bit of audio popping throughout this interview. Please do forgive me as I'm dealing with poor Wi-Fi connections and figuring out how to best record while I travel around the U.S. So when did you first become aware of plastic pollution in the ocean?
Actually, so I studied environmental science in college, starting when I was 18. And then I took a job in New York working as an environmental communicator. And throughout that entire process, so let's say this was probably 6 months into my job. So I'd say 2 years and 6 months into working as an environmentalist and considering myself an environmentalist in an academic sense, I had no idea about plastic pollution. I don't know how it slipped my mind or my studies. So it's a bit embarrassing, but I think that speaks a lot to how a lot of us feel, that we simply weren't aware. So I actually attended an ocean conference that was put on by the UN. And when I was there, the main theme of the conference was plastic pollution. And this is a goal. It's an issue the UN has been tackling really actively this year. So that was the theme. And I went and I saw all of this art that was created out of plastic pollution. I saw the numbers. I saw videos and photo exhibitions on what plastic pollution was doing. So I would say that and that was probably almost 2 years ago now that I became aware of it. So it definitely took a while.
And how serious is the problem of marine litter?
The problem right now is massive. It's happening at an unprecedented scale. And that's because plastic is a fairly recent phenomenon, or at least this mass production of plastic. So it's not only just dire as marine pollution, but it's dire, or it's not only harmful as marine pollution, but it's harmful as terrestrial pollution as well. It's really toxic to produce. It uses a ton of greenhouse gases. So of course, there's a linkage to climate change. So I think some people think of this issue, when they see it being hit so hard, they think, oh, well, it's just about marine wildlife, but it's so much more than, you know, adorable sea turtles and dolphins. It's really about human health, human well-being. It's about the well-being of the planet in general, and an ocean, I would say ocean life being probably the main recipients of the negative effects, but it reaches far beyond them. So in terms of direness, I think it's a really critical issue, and we're seeing that more and more now because it's only recently become so relevant and so obvious.
So tell me about Refusable.
So Refusable is a fun little side project that I started after I went to this ocean conference, and I felt really inspired. I was born and raised in South Florida, and South Florida is a stunning location in terms of its natural environment. You've got the Everglades, massive wetlands. You've got beautiful coral reefs. Obviously, everyone knows about Florida's beaches. And so I think growing up with so much nature and wildlife around me, issues that affected the environment, they hit very close to home. So when I saw this issue of plastic pollution, and I came back to my own backyard and I saw it firsthand, there was just no way that I could, you know, idly sit back and watch this, knowing that, of course, I, like anybody else, was using plastic and was contributing to it. So it was sort of this question, like a moral battle inside of me of how can I claim to love the ocean and claim to be, you know, an advocate for Florida's, for the protection of Florida and its natural environment, and yet be part of this issue and not do something about it. So I decided, I was really inspired by the art exhibitions that I saw at this ocean conference. And I thought, that looks really fun. And it sounds like it would be a cool, you know, creative way of cleaning up the beach and raising awareness just within my own social environment, my family, my friends. So I got a few people to tag along with me. We went to the beach, and of course, we found a ton of trash, sorted through it, and just started to see what we create. And I think it was natural to start creating mostly marine life or things related to the ocean. Like I've done manatees or mermaids or things like that, because I think it's sort of, you know, honoring those things, but also sending the message that, that these are the things affected by it. Well, you know, maybe not mermaids, of course, but other marine life. So it really started off as a fun project just to kind of occupy my time and feel like I was using whatever resources I had to fight this issue. And I decided that I would take some photos of what I was doing and post them on Instagram. So I made an Instagram account for Refusable, and then decided from there I would turn it into an Etsy store, and then created a website. So it just kind of snowballed from trying to be a bit creative.
That's amazing. Is it your full-time job or is it a side passion for you?
I wish it was a full-time job. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that because I love my full-time job, but it is just a side passion that even now, unfortunately, has been a bit on the back burner just because my full-time job demands most of my energy. But I work full-time with the same job that I had in New York. So we are a media-based nonprofit, and I work with the environmental portfolio, running a couple different environmental campaigns. So this issue of plastic pollution is still something that I am able to actively combat in a professional sense, which gives me a lot of fulfillment. And then when I have time on the side, that's when I can focus on Refusable. So it's a bit mixed, actually, I think, because Refusable itself is not my job, but I would say that promoting environmentalism is my job. So they kind of go hand in hand, which is fun.
Yeah, definitely. I love it. Eco-activism is like dream job goals right there.
It is. I know. I can't complain. My job is awesome.
So did you consider yourself an artist before? Did you have any experience making art, or did it all start with Refusable?
I would consider myself the worst artist. I can mess up stick figures. So I never considered myself an artist. And actually, I have a lot of great artists in my family, my sister. I have a couple of aunts, my dad. And I always thought that I, you know, maybe I missed out on that artist gene or something. But my sister used to always tell me that everybody can make art, and that it's not about, you know, being able to draw in a particular way or you know, do a particular thing. Like, I always thought art was just drawing. And if you could draw, you were a good artist. And then when I saw these creative exhibitions using plastic, I saw it really exemplified that idea that you can use different mediums and you can make something that you think is art. And if you think it's art, then it is. Maybe it doesn't, you know, you don't have to be Picasso, but you're still making something that is a creative outlet and that brings you joy, and it might even bring other people joy. So definitely my all of my experience with art begins and hopefully doesn't end with Refusable, because I'm really enjoying having, you know, discovering that creative side that I think I kind of sheltered before.
And how did you come up with the name?
So I remember wanting to make this Instagram account, and I said to my parents, and I think, I don't know, some of my siblings were around, and I'm like, I want to come up with a cool name. And nobody was really interested. They didn't have any ideas for me, but I just thought, what's something, you know, how can I play on some words? And we had just come back from a snorkeling trip. And of course, you know, the ocean being such a central focus of this issue of plastic pollution, I just kind of went through a list of words and the word reef came into my mind. And I thought, ooh, reef, you know, refuse was the first thing that I think popped into my head. And Refusable is really just is a play on, of course, reef, as in, you know, coral reefs being the biodiversity hotspots of the ocean, the sort of cradles of life of the ocean, and I think reefs are representative of marine life in general. And then refuse is something that we're beginning to hear a lot that's been added onto that hierarchy of, you know, reduce, reuse, I think, and recycle. I think refuse we're starting to see a lot more because we see it in terms of refusing single-use plastics, which, as I said before, is, you know, a relatively new thing that we've even thought that we should do. And then, of course, it's got in there the word reuse as well, which speaks to what the art actually entails, which is reusing plastic pollution that I find on the beaches and repurposing it into art. So it was just a creative brainstorming process. It took a little bit of time and thinking, but I think I just got lucky that the words kind of all sounded similar.
It's a brilliant name. I love it.
Thank you. I'm glad. I wasn't sure if people were going to get it at first. Well, I don't know if it makes any sense. So I'm glad to hear that.
Oh yeah, totally. And it stood out to me. I found your shop on Etsy first when I was looking for like eco-friendly gifts and whatnot. And like, it was the name that made me click on it. I was like, ooh, like, what is this? This sounds interesting. I want to know more about it. So it's a brilliant name.
Yay. Thank you. That makes me so happy to hear.
Do you still source all of the trash and materials from the beach yourself?
Yep, I do. So I have to give a shout out to my parents. They're my awesome allies. They are, they tend to accompany me to the beach so that we can pick up a lot more. But I get everything from my local beaches and mangroves. There are a lot of mangroves in South Florida. So instead of white sandy beaches in the Keys, like a lot of people imagine there are actually a lot more just kind of rocky, you know, coasts and mangroves everywhere. And the plastic washes up there and it gets stuck in the mangroves. And mangroves are a habitat for a lot of species. So we will go to wherever there are beaches, but also wherever there are these kind of mangrove islands. I don't know if that's the technical term, but that's what I call them, mangrove islands. And that's where we pick up all the trash.
That's awesome. I love that it's all local to you and you're directly making an impact on your community.
Yeah, that's the goal. I think that people often feel that they're unable to make an impact when you think about, or I hear this all the time, people talking about, you know, well, we're never gonna be able to fight what the government is doing or what huge industries are doing, what big businesses are doing. But you know what? I don't think of it in that sense. I think that we each have, you know, so many hours in our day that we get to choose. You know, some of them we have to dedicate to, you know, our duties, but then we get a certain amount where we get to choose what we want to do, and we can take those hours and use them to do something good. And there's always a way that you can have a direct impact. Picking up trash is just one of them. But again, refusing single-use plastics is another one, is another way that you can make a direct impact, or just telling somebody, sharing information. That's another way you can do it. And I think when it comes to picking up trash specifically, though, the reason I enjoy it is because a lot of times people, it sort of catches on. It's like, you know, that idea that you do something good and it keeps spreading. I see that a lot with picking up trash. People look at you like you're weird in the beginning, and then they realize what you're doing and they think, oh, I've never thought of that before, you know, but it's a great idea. And maybe they'll start doing it. And it starts a little trend. So you might think that your actions are really small, but they can definitely escalate. And also with picking up trash, I feel like it doesn't matter how much you pick up, because if you, let's say you just picked up, I don't know, one plastic fork that you found on your beach, or even just a small piece of microplastic that's already been broken down, that small piece, whatever it is, certainly could have ended up, you know, in the stomach of a small fish, let's say, for example, or just the fact that it's in the environment, you know, breaking down and releasing toxins by way of you picking it up, you've already made, potentially you've made an impact. You know, who's to say that for sure it would end up, in the stomach of a fish? We don't know. But I like to think that every piece of trash you pick up, you're preventing it from getting into the ocean, and from wreaking havoc on our marine life. So every little piece makes a difference in my mind.
I love that. And I love that people will start to join you when you're picking up trash on the beach. It reminds me of this quote. I can't remember it verbatim off the top of my head, but it's something about never doubt that a small group of people can make a difference, for indeed they're the only ones who ever have, or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard that. I'm an optimist when it comes to conservation. I think you have to be, or you might as well not be a conservationist. So I definitely think that we have more power than we give ourselves credit for sometimes. And just the power of the sense of community, and especially in small communities, you'll find this, but in any community, in big cities, you'll find this. It's everywhere, that people in general, they do care about where they live, they do care about their environment, and they do care about the well-being of other people. So they want to make a difference, and sometimes they just need they need an example.
Now, how long does it usually take you to create one of your art pieces?
Ooh, I would say it definitely depends on the size and the sort of complexity of the design. Some of them are really quick. I would say the fastest one that I made took about an hour. It was a pretty small sea turtle, but I just found this green plastic, and I found several pieces of it in the same area. It was, you know, came from the same source and was just sort of broken down. So I took all the pieces, and they were, so many of them were shaped like legs, which, you know, it would be so hard to find something that's shaped like a turtle's legs. And the rest of them just fit perfectly as a shell. And one was the perfect turtle's head with like a little eye and a mouth, it had a crack that looked like a mouth. I mean, it really was just like fate. So I would say that one was the quickest one because the pieces all really came together. But longer ones, maybe will take, you know, a couple, several hours paced out over a couple of days. I made a fairly large piece once that was a sun with a couple of waves and some sand. And I would say that one probably took the longest because there were so many different colors. And there was just a lot of plastic. It was covering every inch of the wood. So that one definitely took the longest, but it's anywhere usually between an hour and I would say 5 or 6 hours.
In general, do you know what you're going to make before you find the plastic pieces, or do you always let the materials guide your artwork?
You know, I think it's a combination of both. I think I have things in my mind that I would love to make, but I'm sometimes limited by what I find, how much I find, or what colors I find. And some colors I don't find as often. Like, I very rarely find black. So if I wanted to make something, you know, like an orca, I might have it in my mind that I really want to make one. And if I find black pieces, then that's the first thing I go, you know, I'll turn to. But I find a lot more blues and I find a lot more whites. So I'll just try to make something with what I have. Or sometimes, let's say if I know I want to make a starfish, and I'm originally thinking of making an orange starfish, but I find blue and I just say, you know what, I'm going to make a blue starfish, and it doesn't have to be accurate. You know, it doesn't have to reflect any particular species, or it doesn't have to be exactly what I had in mind. So I think it's kind of a serendipitous blend of both.
And what's your recommendation for individuals who might not even live near a beach to help reduce and prevent the amount of trash in the ocean?
That's a great question, because I feel like people, if they don't live near a beach, sometimes they feel like the issue isn't affecting them. But we kind of touched on it earlier that it's really an issue that impacts all of us, because it contributes so much to climate change, which will not leave any of us untouched. And it's just in general toxic for our bodies and for the health of our environment and the health of other species on which we depend. So my suggestion would be, first and foremost, to recognize that even if you don't live near a beach, you're still very much impacted by this issue. And also, not to mention that so many resources, medicinal resources, for example, it's just one example of something that we depend on from the ocean, but also countless food. We rely on the ocean for so much revenue and so many resources that everyone is affected by the oceans and what happens to them. And so that would be the first step, is just recognize the global importance of this issue, that it's not just for people who live near the beach and don't want to see, you know, trash on their beaches or something like that. And the next basic thing that people can do is start looking for substitutions. I think we often think that being more eco-friendly requires sacrifice, but I find a lot of the times it's not sacrifice. It's simply, it requires a shift in our behavior. We don't need to give something up. We just replace it with something else. And a lot of times we'll find that we might even enjoy those replacements even more. Like I used to love straws. I still do love straws. I love drinking out of a straw. I just find it really easy, easier and convenient. But I switched to a metal straw, which has been just as convenient, if not more convenient than a plastic straw. And I found that I actually enjoy it much more than I thought that I would have. So it's instead of thinking of things, you know, as a sacrifice, just think of it as a substitution, as a replacement. And you can replace simple things like the straws. You can replace your plastic forks with a reusable fork, maybe a bamboo fork, something that's sourced from, you know, a sustainable material. You can replace a plastic water bottle with a reusable water bottle and just fill it up as you go. So there's so many different ways and so many resources online for finding these simple substitutes. Another one is a bag, of course. The bag became very popular, and I think many people are finding that reusable bags are so much more convenient than plastic bags, just because they don't break, they hold a lot more, things like that. So finding substitutions, that's a great way, and finding ways to say no when it doesn't feel like a sacrifice. So if you're having a drink of water and you feel like you don't need a straw, you can just ask for your drink with no straw or something simple like that. And really, I should have mentioned that the step before this is just being aware and starting to look at your behavior from a different perspective and say, how can I do better? Think of it in a positive way and ask yourself, you know, what kind of changes can I make that are going to make a difference? What areas in my life am I maybe choosing behaviors that I can shift? And just take small steps, take it slow, and don't let yourself feel bad for making mistakes or not being perfect. I think that's really important when it comes to plastic, because plastic is everywhere, and we have to face that. I think a lot of people who are trying to reduce their waste, they'll get caught in this cycle of feeling really bad when they do use plastic, because maybe they forgot a reusable alternative at home, or maybe they forgot to ask for no straw, something like that. And you can't feel hard on yourself. We're all human. You know, we are living in a world which is still heavily, heavily reliant on plastic. So, you know, don't focus on the negative, focus on the positive, on what you're doing right and what you can do better and what other people are doing right. And I think this is kind of this topic of optimism that I mentioned earlier. That's one of the most important things, is just remaining optimistic and making sure that optimism is not, you know, is not baseless. And making sure that your actions are aligning with those values, but not letting yourself believe that you need to be perfect, because that none of us are and none of us ever will be. And, you know, us as humans, we're never going to have it all figured out. We're never going to, you know, be zero waste and carbon neutral and all these things that we want to be. So we just have to start small.
Absolutely. I love it. I love staying optimistic and not feeling like you have to sacrifice to be eco-friendly either, because you definitely don't.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about, you know, getting in the right mindset. Without the right mindset, we'll never get anything done.
So what does the future hold for you and your career and for Refusable?
Ooh, the million-dollar question. I would love to know. So right now, I have been on a bit of a social media hiatus. So I still have the Refusable website up. I still have the Etsy shop up and continue to pick up trash and make art with it. But I took a little hiatus and didn't delete my Instagram, but have been off of it for the summer, just because I felt like I was getting a bit caught up, you know, in just following too many people, or trying to get people to follow me, and trying to think of things to post, and always feeling like I had to document everything. So I decided that I would kind of let it sit for a while and really focus on my full-time job and see how the knowledge and skills from that professional development can help inform what I want to do with it in the future, because I've made so many good friends through Refusable. I've come across incredible, incredible activists and just smart people that I would love to stay in touch with. So I think for now, I'm really just pouring energy into my job and constantly thinking about what kind of a direction Refusable can take, because I have a lot of ideas that I haven't yet had the time to, you know, to see come into fruition. So it's a bit of a mystery. I don't know. I'll be really curious to find out. But I'm hopeful that, you know, no matter what direction the wind takes me, it's of course going to be something that I'm passionate about. And plastic pollution, as long as it remains a problem, it will remain something that I care about and actively work to fight against.
And where can people go to learn more about you?
Well, you can check out my website, which is refusable.com, which is R-E-E-F-U-S-A-B-L-E www.vanessaclark.com. You can also check out my Instagram, even if it's not active right now. You can check out the account. It's the same name, so just at Refusable. And you can see some examples of the art that I create. You can see different posts about just my life in general. And am I missing something? No, the website. Yeah, the website and the social media. That's where you can find out anything you want. You can always email me if you go on my website. There's a contact form that goes to my email. I love starting random conversations with people. I love having philosophical debates about really anything, but especially about the environment. We can talk about morals with regard to the environment. We can talk about anything you want. So you can always feel free to send me a message. It will never be too random. And I would love to engage in conversation with anybody about these things.
Awesome. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure. And I'm super excited to see where your podcast is going to go in the future.
Thank you. You can read the show notes for this episode, including a full transcript and links to the resources mentioned, by visiting ahippieinavan.com/008. Hey guys, Callie here. Thank you so much for listening to the Hippie Haven podcast. Your support means the world to me. If you liked this episode, please subscribe and leave a review in iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts. It only takes 60 seconds, but it really helps because reviews influence how easily people can find this podcast in search results. We also have an exclusive community over on Facebook. So if you want to connect with me and other like-minded people, just type Hippie Haven in the Facebook search bar and join our group. Thanks again, and stay tuned every Wednesday for the next episode.